Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Tonight, our guest is Jessica Liao I. Flynn. Jessica, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Well, this is a real pleasure to have you with me. Let me ask you a question to start off with. What is poetry?
I believe poetry is when you reach up for words within the heavens and then lay them down on paper so that everyone can have that little piece of love. Thank you.
Say that one more time. That was beautiful. One more time.
I believe poetry is when you reach up for words within the heavens and then lay them down on paper so that everyone can have that little piece of love.
I've never heard it expressed that way before.
Thank you.
I'm stunned. I mean, that is so nice that you reach up into the heavens. That's poetic in itself.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. What sparked your initial love of poetry?
I began reading poetry and novels as a young child at libraries, and coming from a household where it wasn't really a big thing to express yourself freely, it wasn't a thing, and also being isolated, I found poetry as a way to help me learn how to communicate what I couldn't communicate directly. I also went on to taking 2 semesters of poetry classes in college, and my poetry professor, who also taught other liberal arts classes, where I enrolled in all of his classes, encouraged me and helped me with my techniques through his vigorous critique.
All right. Well, what I'd like you to do is to share a piece of your work.
Okay. I'll start with, I think, this one that is expresses, I guess, my frustrations of being mixed in America. I tend to, apparently, according to most, I tend to defy all the phenotypes because of my mixed race ethnicity. So this one is called Too Much, Too Less. It kind of expresses frustration at how people address you or try to address you based on how they perceive you. Too much, too less. Too white to speak out, too dark to be heard, too many freckles to count, too brown to burn, too yellow to blush, too purple to breathe, with hair too curly and too straight to brush, with eyes deep brown but never seen with depth, how much she hurts deep down. Thank you.
Would you share that poem one more time? It's beautiful.
Thank you. Too white to speak out, too dark to be heard, too many freckles to count, too brown to burn, too yellow to blush, too purple to breathe, with hair too curly and too straight to brush, with eyes deep brown but never seen with depth, how much she hurts deep down.
Now, your name, your maiden name is very interesting. Where do you hail from?
I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica, and the name is Chinese.
Well, please share another piece of your work.
This one is called 2019. It's about I guess I'm in an interracial marriage, and so I wrote a little small blip about, you know, what it's like in America at this time. Here it is. Interracial marriage in our time is very complex and forces us all to truly address history, race, cold truths about freedom and justice, perspectives, and now we need to exorcise it in order to continue to live and love again. Thank you.
It sounds like this topic is extremely important to you.
I talk about love as well, and marriage, and also traveling. But yeah, the times nowadays can be a little bit difficult, but at the same time, we can all learn and grow from it. And I feel like it's important to address it now so that we can all move on.
How does a poem begin for you, with an idea, a form, or an image?
It begins with a strong emotion I have in the moment, or small pent-up fragments of emotions that I try to hide over time and eventually spill out on the paper.
Right.
I do visual art as well, such as painting and drawing, but I'm more of a technical artist, so I emote best through written language. Thank you.
Please share another piece of your work.
This one is called Beside. It's about just kind of being isolated in your own mind. Here it is. Nobody truly knows the person that lays next to them. Shit, we have a hard time getting to know ourselves. All we know is how that person makes us feel. Find someone that you don't have to explain yourself to. That person will oftentimes most likely be you. Thank you.
Short and sweet and to the point.
Thank you.
Why do you prefer to write short poems? It sounds like.
I edit down a lot to what I think is the essence of what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
They're like little statements and little fragments of what I believe is also powerful. My work is very minimalistic, and but I mean to also make a great impact with shorter amount of words. I do have a few other longer poems that I will share later on.
All right. Question for you. Do you think that you were meant to be a poet?
Pardon?
Do you think that you were meant to be a poet?
I don't really know what I was meant to be. I think I was just meant to be me.
Okay.
And I, whatever that is just me and being. I never really considered myself a poet. I've always considered myself a graphic designer, but I kind of am interdisciplinary in that I love anything creative that I can express myself through, whether it's through poetry, through art, through exercise, through lots of things. But whatever I am doing at the moment is who I am, I guess. So I guess for right now, I'm a poet.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. What do you see as being the role of a poet in modern day society? What purpose, what role do we serve?
I think that language is a huge window into how the mind works. And as a poet, it's really good to explain the more creative and loving side of humanity. There's this one quote that I love by Robin Williams. He said that math, science, engineering, these are things that are amazing, that are necessary to live, but love and art and, you know, creativity, things like that is what we live for. And poets give us a means to express ourselves and to relate to. And I guess in a way, it also allows us not to feel as isolated as we are as individuals.
Yes, I can understand that. I agree with that 100%. Well, what then does it mean to be creative in general?
I'm not sure. That's a very good question. I'd say just to look at things in a different light, that to challenge yourself to be something you've never been before.
As you think about that, what has been some of the best advice you've ever received about being creative, if you've received any advice at all, because you are very creative?
That's a good question as well. I guess just to be yourself. I'm not really sure. I'm a little stumped on that one. I'm trying to think of all the advice
all right.
I've gotten. But basically, one thing that I learned in middle school when I started first going to art classes when we were doing still life, they said, don't look at them as a still life. Look at them as a set of lines. And take yourself away from what society tells you these objects are and see for yourself with your own two eyes the lines and collection of shapes and then go from there. And I thought that was very powerful, and it taught me to see things in a whole new light, to try to – it's a meditative process, and that allowed me to see things a different way and to practice seeing things with fresh eyes than – to go by what people tell you is object A and object B, just to look at the actual forms.
Very profound, because you said it does. You stated a set of lines, and lines as a collection. And I viewed as lines as a collection of words, and that's a poem.
Yes, very much so.
Very nice. Please share another piece of your work.
So this is a very short poem, but it was a lot of people have asked me in the past, you know, how do you decide what to do with your life? And they've asked me, and I can't give them answers, but they don't know how to find themselves. And sometimes it's okay to not have any specific bullet-pointed goals, you know, where your purpose in life could be just to have fun and travel and pay rent. And that's totally great. That's a great purpose. And what I've found was that anytime anyone is seeking answers, I tell them to ask themselves this poem. Here it is. Decisions. What makes you happy? What makes you feel free? What makes you feel safe? Can you do all three? And thank you. So those are the four questions in that little poem that I feel has maybe helped direct people into finding themselves and what decisions in life to make.
All right. Number one was, what makes you happy?
Yes.
Am I correct?
And then what makes you feel free?
What makes you feel free?
And then what makes you feel safe? And then can you do all three? Yes.
Can you do all three? That can be so difficult, Jessica, to do, to accomplish all three of those at the same time. At the same time. That's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
It's important to be able to juggle it, but it's a lot to juggle.
Yes.
I think poetry helps us in that regard because it gives us a way to channel our feelings, to express ourselves in general. But it gives us a way, in my mind, to feel free, to feel safe. I don't want to ramble either, but it makes you feel happy. It makes you feel happy. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
right, we are back. I'm Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Jessica Liao I.E. Flynn. The telephone number is 646-787-1631. If you'd like to call and ask Jessica a question. Jessica, name three of your favorite historic poets.
I like Mary Oliver.
All right.
Ruby Tower. And I would say William Blake or T.S. Eliot. I know that's four.
All right. What about their work are you most drawn to?
Specifically, Mary Oliver. She's very poetic about, and she tends to write about self-acceptance, which is what I struggle with and what I think everyone struggles with, and being comfortable
yes.
in your skin and feeling welcome at home, anywhere. So reading her poetry helps me to feel okay to be me and feel at home anywhere I go. And it's comforting.
Very nice. Very nicely stated. What style of poetry do you... Okay, another poet. In terms of... another one of the poets that you listed, William Blake. What about him?
I love the words that he uses. They're very beautiful, a little bit decorative. And I think he's very technically good. I don't relate quite to everything, but he's very clever and witty, I believe.
All right. Tell us about the last literary reading that you attended.
Literary reading, as in
yes.
like an open mic or...
Like an open mic, yes.
Okay. The last one I attended was at BASA. With the Guerrilla Poetry Group a few weeks ago. That was really good. I also participated. And I really enjoyed listening to lots of different perspectives. And that's what this is all about. And I like learning about people and what it is like to be within someone else's mind. And I think poetry is very close to doing that.
Oh, yes, I agree. Well, please share another piece of your work.
Okay. This is a poem about what marriage, you know, a true fact about marriage. It's called A Heart with Eyes. One thing that true lovers will absolutely always deal with at some point in your partnership, no matter how many loves you've had before this one, whatever home, house, or safe space that you find yourself in, regardless of how beautiful, comfortable, relaxing, there will be times that you will glance out of those foggy glass windows and wonder. Thank you.
Share that one more time, please. I like that. Share it one more time, because it's so true.
Thank you. A heart with eyes. One thing that true lovers will absolutely always deal with at some point in your partnership, no matter how many loves you've had before this one, whatever home, house, or safe space that you find yourself in, regardless of how beautiful, comfortable, relaxing, there will be times that you will glance out of those foggy glass windows and wonder. Thank you.
You know, when I write, I have a habit of posting three at a time. Do you have a special ritual that you go through when you prepare to write?
I kind of just start writing, and then I start crossing out words. I write and spill out on the paper, and then I cross out lines and words until I come up with the essence of what I'm trying to say. That's why I guess my poems are very short. But yeah. I'm big on editing, I suppose.
All right. Well, please share another of your edited work.
Okay, this one is called Belief. This was a little bit about my search for, I guess, a higher power or spirituality in also the universe and in love. So this one's called Belief. From the sanctuary through the deepest valley to the monastery, I grow more and more weary and wary, sifting through the seasons for various reasons, looking for life among the stars in his eyes. Thank you.
Another profound piece. You know, it's funny. All poets, I'm going to say all, have several words that come up over and over and over and over again, words or sentences that they can't help but use in their work. What are three of your absolute favorite words to use?
I would say stars, I guess. I was inspired by Maya Angelou, and she used stars in one of my favorite poems called, Is It Love? It's a dimension lost, and she talks about, you know, why do we mutter like rumors among the stars? And that called out, that really stood out to me, because when my husband proposed to me, he wanted to take me across the country, and he had all these goals. He's a big dreamer, and he said, Jessica, you'll never reach the moon if you don't shoot for the stars. And even though we may not land on the moon, at least we can travel among the stars. So I like the word stars a lot, and universe.
All right.
So, yeah. Yeah, so that's my number one word. I guess another word, I would say behold, because behold, it's actually means to observe, but at the same time it holds the word hold in it. So it's basically like to grab something's attention, behold it, to observe it. And I like to observe as much as I can being an artist. So I like that word a lot. And those are my two top words. I wouldn't say I have a third right now. But yeah.
All right. Maybe that third word is percolating beneath the surface.
Yes.
Please share another piece of your work.
Okay. This one is called Untitled. It's about another piece about being mixed in America and defying the phenotypes, all phenotypes. So here it is. We're so mixed that we transcend the tribal. We belong everywhere and nowhere all at once. There is no one place that we can make a pilgrimage to. We can only dip our foot somewhere here or there. So I guess we'll just wander, meander, getting rejected over and over again. Thank you.
Have you ever had an opportunity to take a literary pilgrimage anywhere?
I'm planning on eventually going to Southeast Asia.
Which countries?
I plan on eventually going to Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah, those are my goals. That's kind of where I'm really looking to go to. I'm very interested in those cultures, and I found out more recently that that's a large portion of, it doesn't really matter, but I'm pretty mixed with everything. So I plan on going all over the world, not just Southeast Asia, wherever I find inspires me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, share another piece of your work.
Okay. This piece is about a special somebody. Jay. When I saw him, I wanted to hold and behold him. He shared my inner child, my sorrows, my vices. He was half me, half mine. I know loving him would help me love myself, but I can't touch. To love he who is me would be to drown into myself. It would feel so good. Nothing would get done. we would die together happily, curled up together as a whole person. Thank you.
Did you say curled up together as a whole person?
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. I like that. I like that a lot. Tell us about your process. Is it pen and paper, computer, notebooks? How do you write?
Pen and paper. And then I put it, and I scratch, and I'm very much into pens and paper. I write everything down first on pen and, with pen and paper, and then I eventually pick out my favorite ones out of my notebook and put it in my computer. But,
so how long does it take you to write a poem?
Sometimes it takes a few seconds, sometimes a few minutes, and then the editing process can take, I kind of visit all of them at the same time, going back and forth, jumping between poems, so it's kind of hard to say. But overall, it doesn't take me too terribly long.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, share another piece. Share another piece of your work.
So this poem is about a close friend of mine that I was able to relate to because he was also in my shoes. It's called Friendship. They say that shared pain makes the best friendship. I was in need of understanding, in need of a friend, in need of family, in need of sincerity. Is this more than friendship? I'm not sure. What is it that you need? What is the cure? Color is only skin deep, but the wounds far from shallow. And love is like water. It strives but doesn't try to. Thank you.
Color is only skin deep, but the... What did you say?
Wounds are far from shallow.
Wow. You are so profound.
Thank you.
Really, really profound. Your work is so deep. I'd like to hear another piece.
Thank you. This one doesn't have a title. This is more of a spoken word piece based on things that I have been called or labeled. Here it is. They call me sun-kissed, as though white has been the answer, the standard all along, tanned, as though I should feel complimented for saving money that they spend striving to be me at the salon. That I should feel lucky for the attention that I get as a creature rather than fume over the lack of respect that I get as a human. You look at me with your beautiful, sheltered, light eyes and say, let it go, as though you would be able to do the same in my tight shoes that suffocate and cripple my feet, as though you would be able to walk, skip, and hop with these shackles wrapped around your hypothetical brown ankles. Trash, the wrong side of the tracks, ghetto, tacky. These being sometimes replaced with tanned as some sort of golden medal to pat me on the back to welcome me to whichever club you're throwing me in. No, I will not take that. You can have it back. I am far from lucky. Thank you.
Poets and writers write for a myriad of reasons. Some write primarily to speak a message to their audience. Others write because to stay silent is not an option. Why do you write?
I write to get my feelings and emotions across. I'm not very quick with, when it comes to expressing myself when someone is not very nice to me. I tend to hold it
yes.
in. I internalize it and it hurts. I'm not very sharp on that. I kind of bottles up, and I sometimes have to try to find some healthy outlet for it. Here it is.
All right. Please share another piece of your work.
Okay, thank you. This one is about, I guess, accepting myself. It's called Untitled as well. She's beautiful, and her freckles scatter across the continent's night skies. Her past spirits are all integrated into one culture, her own, and she is confident. Thank you.
She's beautiful, with freckles, and she's confident.
Yeah.
How has your idea of what poetry is and what poetry can do changed since you began writing poetry and you started writing early?
I started writing. How have I changed? Well, I was able to become more expressive when I went to college and nothing was edited for me. I was able to really break out of my shell. There was no supervision or anything like that to kind of control what I wrote or thought. So it's changed a lot over time, and I've become a lot more open about myself and vulnerable. So yeah, that's, I guess, and also life experience. When I turned 30, it was like a time exploded in my mind of all the things that I've absorbed for 30 years. Finally, it's kicking in, and I went through a major transformation as soon as I turned 30, and that was this year. And so,
oh wow,
I made a complete transformation, and I finally started writing again because I took a break for a long time. And now my topics are based on all the things that I've absorbed my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to articulate them finally.
What is a measure of success as a poet?
I think if it just changes you internally as a poet, if your poetry changes who you are for the better, and transforms you, it doesn't have to transform anybody else, but, if it transforms you, then I think that is successful.
I like that, and I agree that if it transforms you, then you are successful. And that's very important. And you're right, it doesn't need to transform anybody else. Anybody else. But if it transforms you, then that's what's successful. I like that. Please share another piece of your work.
So this one I wrote on the way back from London recently this year. It's called Finding He and I. Above the clouds and over the northern sea, I saw him. He finally saw me. I found myself, maybe temporarily, but felt something permanently. I saw the stars, measured them carefully, in hopes to go far over the southern sea, to find my home for the first few times, even if I have to comb through fields of mines. I've already lost a leg and definitely lost my mind, searching, hoping, and learning of my kind. In the end, who will be mine? Thank you.
Have you ever been published?
No, I haven't. Not at all.
All right. Do you ever plan to submit your work anywhere?
I was thinking of just, like, using Vistaprint and making my own book for myself. I haven't really,
yes.
Like, I don't really know where to submit to.
Well, there are a number
just
of people
write for me, I guess.
Right. Well, there are a number of people in our listening audience who know, who have ideas about where to publish, and I'll make sure that you know and find out.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Please share another piece of your work. I'm really enjoying this program, so please share another piece of your work.
Okay, great. Thank you. This one is just a very simple, small poem of the anxieties that I have on a daily basis. It's here it is. I want to be good, but I can't. That's just not me. I want to be bad, but I can't. I think that I already am. I want to be wild and free, but that's not me either. I simply want to breathe, inhale deep with ease. Thank you.
I think so many people can relate to that particular piece of poetry. Would you share it one more time?
Okay. Here it is. I want to be good, but I can't. That's just not me. I want to be bad, but I can't. I think that I already am. I want to be wild and free, but that's not me either. I want to simply breathe, inhale deep with ease. Thank you.
If you're out there listening, let that one sink in. They all should sink in. But that particular one, let that sink in. That's important. Now, do you write short stories as well? Any other pieces of literature?
I've never really written stories. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, anyway? All right. Yeah. Some poets also find themselves active in other creative areas. What are some of your favorite non-poetry or literature activities?
Non-poetry activities, you said?
Yes, yes.
Favorite non-poetry activities. Okay. I like to read novels and biographies and memoirs. I also like to exercise when I can, and I like to paint. I like to go to figure drawing. I like to do lots of things that, with my hands especially, I do linoleum carving. That was in my flyer. I did that when I was in middle school, actually, my first linoleum carving print, and I've done a lot more since then. I like to do a lot of craft projects, but I like to create things, and I like to, you know, bounce around.
All right. I know when you share with me that the image was created when you were in the seventh grade, I was quite impressed. Quite impressed.
Thank you.
Please share another piece of your work.
Okay. This one's a little bit of a longer one. It's basically about, it was inspired by butterfly wings that I saw in the British Museum. It's called Whole Wings. Two wings of a butterfly, left, right, one body, you and I. All the delicate, fragile wings of a honeybee fluttering as a whole. You, me, he, she, he and he, she and she, all together creating our home, Matt, Will, and Chelsea. The sharp, fast wings of a drone and fighter jet surrounding the globe as a whole, dropping death, creating hole after hole. I only hope that one fine day we'll stop it all and take a pause, muster the words, and all say in unison, under the moon, the stars, and the sun, that we are one. Thank you.
Very nice. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
We are back. I'm Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Jessica Liao I.E. Flynn, and Jessica's sharing her work. And to be quite honest with everyone, I'm quite touched by Jessica's work because it's so introspective. It's so vulnerable. It's so real. And I believe personally that poetry should be real. It's your own lived experience, and you should be able to share it in that way. You know, they say to see the world with complete honesty, one should look to comedians, artists, and poets. What do you think emerges naturally from your work? What comes from within you?
I think just my worries, my thoughts, things that I think on a daily basis, and things that I have bottled up for a long time and finally articulated. It takes me time to articulate something, but when I do, it comes out as poetry. I don't know if that answers the question.
It does, yes.
But just basically, okay, yeah.
No, please continue. I'm listening.
Yeah, I guess it's just how I feel. That's, I guess, what comes out of my poetry. That's all I can do. And also my observations on myself and my interactions with the world and how I interact with the world and my perspective from being a woman of color in an interracial marriage in America and also being a woman. And I guess kind of still... I guess voices from my inner child somewhere there. So that is what emerges from my poetry, I feel.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with someone earlier today about the inner child and how important it is to be in touch with your inner child. Poetry helps you do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you write, Jessica? Where do you go to write?
I've written... all over the place. I write in my home. I write at restaurants, at bars. I've written a lot, actually. Some of my poems I've written on an airplane. I think I got inspired this summer from all the traveling that I've done. I've written, you know, I wrote on the plane to and from London. I wrote on the plane to and from Toronto this year. So all over the place. I usually keep a notebook and pen and paper on me.
All right. We'll share another piece of your work.
Okay. This one is called Float, and I got inspired by my candles by my bed that are lotus flowers. Float. My soft petals of complications surround a hot, bright, burning light. The fire flickers with an irregular rhythmic pulse, while the petals grow thinner. My light now shines through delicately, and they see strong alabaster. As a whole, I begin to float as a lotus flower down the rapid river, still shining and flickering with an irregular pulse. Thank you.
Shining and flickering with an irregular pulse.
Yes, and it kind of, yes, and I meant for it to symbolize kind of my chaotic light that shines within me.
Okay. I heard the statement some time ago that without mud, there is no lotus. And I think in terms of writing poetry, it is a lot of give and take, a lot of edits. That's the mud. And the final product, if it is a final product, that's the lotus.
Yes.
I don't know where that came from. But
No, that's, I think it's a kind of a Buddhist motif.
Yes. So to you, Jessica, what are some of the most prevalent ingredients that go into the concoction we call a poem? What goes into it?
Me plus the world around me, and then my poetry spills out.
Okay.
Those are the main ingredients. My universe is between my 2 ears and my eyes, and the mixture just kind of makes my poetry, and I guess that's all I can think of right now.
Okay, not a problem. Please share another piece of your work.
This one is called Imhotep. It was inspired by someone that I really like, and the museum that I went to in Britain, in Great Britain. And it's also about love. Only he can translate the hieroglyphic scars because he has them burned inside his heart. The others try to translate. One even deciphered the code, declaring he found some sort of Rosetta Stone. But this one, he was of the same lost kingdom, a king crowned, looking for me to be his queen. Thank you.
You know, I think the audience would like to hear your work. So please share several pieces.
Okay, great. Here's another one. It's called Past Sins. Here it is. As I grow older, wiser, and more aware, my past sins begin to catch up with me. They sense that I'm trying to leave them behind, clinging on for dear life. I must tell them that I can no longer support them or their lifestyle, those toxic relations with past sins. Thank you. And then the next one, did you have any questions for me?
No, I'm just listening. I want to listen like the rest of the world.
Okay. This one is called The Marriage Anthem. this was an apology that I wrote to my husband actually last week.
All right.
So here it is. I want to apologize for being me, though I'm not supposed to. I just can't help being the ass that I am. I'm sorry for the one too many drinks, for the complaints, for the overly too many thinks, for the 1, 2, and 4 feet in my mouth, for the stupid way that I pout, for the belches and yelling, for the merry way that I bellow, for thinking that it's somehow in tune with your mind and heartbeat, when in fact it's completely off. I apologize for being distracted from what is really important, all the simple things added together, like your beautiful face, your kitten smile, the way your crow's feet crinkle beside your hazel eyes, and when your dimples show, and the way you touch me, the way you hold, the way that you want me, the way that you need me. I'm so sorry for being a pain in the ass. Just know that I'm trying, and it's so hard. I'm so sorry that sometimes I want to give up and no longer care. But I still love you, though I can't stand myself. And they say it's impossible to love somebody else when you can't stand yourself. But here we are, me not liking me, loving you more than I care to talk to me. Thank you. Here's another one. There's no title, but it's dialogue between my husband and I. Here it is. He apologized and said that he will never be what I want or need him to be. I responded, honey, I will never be what I want or need me to be. Thank you. This one is about more love. Here it is. You can never work your way into heaven or into somebody's heart. You can look to them only for guidance and inspiration, and in the end, it's up to them to allow you into their embrace. Thank you. I have one more. It's not about love. It's a painful piece about the recent shooting in El Paso that really struck me very hard with everything that's going on in this world. And so here it is, El Paso. In the time of El Paso, I consider wearing a heavily opaque mask, enough to hide the scars that it distinguish who I am, how I came to be and why I'm here. It's excruciating, the realistic idea of being pushed into secrecy, which is not at all maintainable because of my skin tone. I say hush, but my eyes, nose, mouth, and hair scream from the mountaintops and from every flagpole, begging, demanding deservingly for dignity and pride. Never forget where you come from, the shapes that show in your body and face, what you look like. That is being proud to never forget. Thank you. And that is all I have for tonight.
Well, would you mind sharing the El Paso piece one more time? That is so powerful. One more time, just for me. One more time.
Okay, thank you. In the time of El Paso, I consider wearing a heavily opaque mask, enough to hide the scars that distinguish who I am, how I came to be, and why I'm here. It's excruciating, the realistic idea of being pushed into secrecy, which is not at all maintainable because of my skin tone. I say hush, but my eyes, nose, mouth, and hair scream from the mountaintops and from every flagpole, begging, demanding deservingly for dignity and pride. Never forget where you come from, the shapes that show in your body and face, what you look like. That is being proud to never forget. Thank you.
If you were given the opportunity to get published, and you will be, and do book signings anywhere you want it to go, what cities or countries would definitely be on your book tour?
Oh, I have no idea. I never, ever thought about that. I would have to say the States, for sure. All over the United States, because a part of my work is culture shock from being in the United States, and I want to relate to any, I want people in the United States that may not feel comfortable in their skin, and the United States is mixing more and more, and I want my audience definitely in the United States to see my work if they are willing to give me the opportunity. So yeah, I would say the United States is definitely number one. All
number
over.
Number one. All right, all right. And maybe Cambodia, Vietnam. Maybe places like
possibly.
That as well. Yes.
Yes.
I can see you on a book tour. I can see it. I'm already claiming that victory for you.
Thank you.
One last question. When
sure.
people hear your work, I'm sure they're going to want more. What's next for you as a poet?
I don't really know. It just depends on how my life goes.
mm-hmm.
I still write. I do have more poems that aren't quite refined yet. I actually have a total of 30 pages of poems. But I just have to keep writing and observing and loving more is what would help me. And going through life, getting knocked down over
okay.
and over again, you know, building more character and just experiencing life is going to probably help me continue my poetry. And I will write as long as I am living. So...
Well, I'd like to thank you for being actually my 49th guest.
Thank
and
you.
I can't think of another person who'd be my better 49th guest.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you so,
so
much for having me.
Thank you so
me.
Much. Well,
thank
I'm
you
glad
so much.
You're here. And go ahead, please.
No, I was saying thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm really enjoying this, and it was so great to meet you, too. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm very thankful.
Well, great. All right, then. Well, to our listening audience, good night, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Live from the